This morning, in the text of Scripture, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, that I can't help but think of Jesus. I went to Israel and I went to Nazareth, went to where his synagogue was, saw the synagogue where he was raised. And Jesus went back there to the synagogue, and I want to share what he said in the synagogue, because it says that there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when, that's Jesus, when it says he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again unto the minister and sat down. And when he sat down, as it should be in church, because when they got ready to preach, they sat down. Interesting. You're sitting down, I'm standing, but they sat. He sat down, which meant he was ready to preach. And it says the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, now don't miss this, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The reason I read that, because Jesus was saying to these people, Eli, would you sit next to my wife, please? I appreciate that. Thank you. Jesus was saying to these people, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I really believe that was Isaiah, and Jesus stopped right at the place that scripture was being fulfilled, right with Jesus, right in that synagogue. Here you are in church today. We're reading Joshua 3, verse 5. I'm going to preach on it. I really believe that right at this time, this scripture that I'm preaching on today is happening in your life, as far as the application of it is happening in your life today. And so it's very, very relevant that you understand that. And so the Lord spoke with authority. And I'm reading now in Joshua 3, verse 5, and I want to give you the verse. It says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua and his friend Caleb had waited 40 years for this time. 40 years they'd prayed and they'd asked God. I have waited and prayed for over 50 years for what I believe is ready to happen in our midst right now, and in our country right now. I have been waiting and praying, get this, for over 50 years. And I can say to you that right now, as what we're reading about in verse 5, after 40 years, Joshua and Caleb waiting, now it's going to happen. And he says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And they were ready to cross the Jordan River. They were ready to see a miracle so the river could be stopped by God. They were ready to go to the giants in the walls of Jericho and see them fall down and defeat the city. They were ready to kill giants by the power of God, because God was going to do wonders amongst them. Are you ready for God to do wonderful things? The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, God says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God said he'd do wonders. And it says in the Bible that Isaiah chapter 9, his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And that's our Savior. And he is a wonder-working Savior. And I believe that he's fixing to do wonderful things in your mix in these days. And the name of my message is, God will do wonders amongst you. God will do wonders amongst you. And I have two things I want to say about that this morning. Number one is what God will do in your midst. What God will do in your midst. And I want to say he'll do two things. Number one, he will judge the systems of evil over the United States of America. And I'd like somebody to look up the number of the battle hymn of the Republic in your hymn book. Help me out with that. God will judge the systems of evil over America. Brother Jose, if you want help, here it is, right here. God will judge those systems of evil over the United States of America. I believe that for many years, Satan has been trying to set up a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world society, and everything will be under one man and his lieutenant, and Satan will control it all. And since World War II, he has been trying to get America tightly into that one-world government. Why? Because if he can get America, he can have the whole world. And we know Satan is the god of this world. We know he has power since Adam sinned. But God is got all power. And Satan can have his timeline pushed back by God. I believe Satan's timeline is by 2030 to bring in the Mark of the Beast system. That's what he's been working on. And the United States of America, it was terrible after 2016, a man was elected that was against this globalist system. God put him in there in answer to our prayers. His name was Donald John Trump, not a perfect man, but a man God chose to go against the globalist system. And he put him in there in 2016. But what happened in 2020? The election was stolen. I said it was stolen. Who steals? Satan. He's a liar, a thief, and a murderer. And so we saw that happening. We saw COVID, which was another satanic plan to kill millions of people. Fauci should be arrested for crimes against humanity. Bill Gates arrested, one of the most hated men in the world, a murderer, a satanic person. I'm saying to you, that's happening. You say, Pastor, you're stepping on toes here. You're naming names here. That's exactly right. I believe in the book of Revelation, but now we're getting close to the book of Revelation. And so it gets more specific, you see. And so you need to do that. And so I'm just saying to you this morning that God, I believe, is going to do wonders. He is going to come. I talk to people. They say, oh, it's not going to change. These guys are in power. Gates will not be brought to justice. The Obamas will not be brought to justice. Fauci will not be brought to justice. I say to you, yes, they will. I say to you, watch out, because God is fixing to judge the systems of evil over America. You see, there was a time when the American people didn't get the truth. The media lied to you. And by the way, the mainstream media still lies. But listen, there's more and more media that are waking up. You hear more of the truth with Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and on it goes. There's more truth coming. And more people realize the truth of what I'm saying. And I'm just saying to you this morning that you need to see what God is doing. He's fixing to judge the systems of evil. Tomorrow, Joshua said, God will do wonders amongst you. Sanctify yourself. Get ready for it. I was listening to an interview by Laura Logan. Laura Logan was a mainstream media journalist that really told the truth about things. She would get her sources and be the old-fashioned kind of journalist, a young lady, an attractive lady. I believe she was in Egypt in the Arab Spring, and she was talking about her experience there. And she was using her experience to compare that to the election in 2024 that we just had. Missy, I see you're here. That's good. You said you'd be here, and you're here, Missy. Good. I see you in the back. Now, I'm just saying to you, that election, she said, I compare it because America was just about gone. And what happened to this attractive journalist, Laura Logan, over in Egypt? There were these Islamic men that were a big gang of men, and they grabbed her and they gang raped her and sodomized her. And she was so badly abused by these men. She was telling this. She was telling this in an interview that I heard just this past week. She was telling her experience. She said, they so badly gang raped me and sodomized me. She said, I was just about a minute away from death. I could no longer breathe. I could no longer drag any air into my lungs. And she said, I'm going to die right here. It's over. And then suddenly, within a minute of death, there was a wall of human beings that came between her and the mob. And when they came between her and the mob, she was saved. And she said, I can breathe. I've got a chance at life. She said, but the mob was right there ready to break through and get me and finish me off. But that wall of human beings kept me. And she said, that's the way it was in the 2024 election when Donald Trump got in, and when those got in the cabinet that he appointed, like Robert Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, and so forth, Kash Patel, and so forth and so on. And she said, it was like that. And she said, the mob is still there. The globalists are still there. They're ready to kill and pounce out America. But now we have a chance at life. And we need to follow through. And she's a very good journalist. She said, I am in the administration and Donald Trump is doing these great things. But she said, in the inner core of the deep state, there's still people that are solidly against his agenda and are reporting to him and lying. But she's aware of it, making people aware of it. And the American people are aware of it. I believe this is a call for us to pray, because I believe that God is going to judge these very systems of evil that are trying to choke out the life breath of the United States of America. Now, some of you know that I prayed for a local Donald Trump rally when he was here at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. How many of you knew that, prayed for that rally? Ultimately, about 4,000 people showed up for that rally. It was on national TV. And I prayed for Donald Trump to get elected. I prayed for Pennsylvania to go for Trump and Michigan and so forth. And Michigan went for Trump. Pennsylvania went for Trump. Florida went for Trump. That prayer was answered in a wonderful way. I was also granted the opportunity to have a personal meeting with Donald Trump, talk to him, get a picture with him. And when I was there, he asked me to get votes in the church for his candidacy. I could see he was on a mission, and he was out for the American people. He knew America needed to be restored. I went back to the church, and I asked Deacon Bob Majeski to head that up. And Bob Majeski got the votes that Donald Trump asked me to get. He did the work. He did the work to get it. And he was rewarded. He got a trip to the White House, got to go to the White House with his kids and on a field trip. His mother-in-law went, his wife went, of course, not to the White House, but to that trip and so forth in Washington, D.C. And Bobby sent me just about all the pictures. And one of the pictures he sent me was where he was in 2021 on a very historic date there. And he said, this is where I prayed for America. And that's right in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, the center of our republic. And, you know, I look at that and I saw that God had me pray for the Trump rally. And then the guy I'd asked to get the votes, and we got the votes. And this guy won, and the deacon that did that, God had him go to Washington, D.C. And what does that tell me? God is fixing to shake America. God is fixing to judge the systems of evil over America. Tomorrow, it says, the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Now, if you've ever watched The Wizard of Oz, you know about the Wicked Witch of the West. And I know her name. It's Nancy Pelosi, the Wicked Witch of the West. And Nancy Pelosi, I saw where she was saying over and over again the lying thing. How do you know Nancy's lying when her lips are moving? And she was talking and she was saying, oh, you know, we got to praise the Capitol Police. They saved our lives that day. They saved the lives of all of us. Oh, we were going to get destroyed. Well, I was there that day. Those people weren't out to kill anybody. They were let in, basically, at that point in time. And they were there peacefully. They didn't throw the place and The only thing I saw, and I saw it firsthand, was a lady unarmed, a U.S. veteran, a lady went in there and was shot dead by a Capitol Police officer. Shot dead in cold blood, in my opinion. And never was punished for it. I'm saying God, though, is fixing to judge the systems of evil over America, and more people are seeing the truth of what really went on there. And you say, what really went on there? Why did American patriots go into the Capitol, and why did they have to pray for America and go right in the Capitol? I'll tell you why. You remember Jesus went into the temple, which was the capital of the Jewish power over Israel. Now Jesus did more than what the patriots did. He turned over their money to him. He let loose their animals. And he said, you den of robbers, you made my father's house into a place of thieves. You're a bunch of robbers and thieves. And he condemned them. I believe God let patriots into the Capitol to protest that the Congress has been corrupt. Corrupt with globalist money. Corrupt with George Soros money. Corrupt, just like Jesus said. And he drove them out of the temple. And this was God's way to say that I'm fixing to drive out these corrupt congressmen. I'm fixing to drive out these corrupt judges from America and the temple of their democracy. I'm fixing to drive out the deep state from the executive branch. And you're hearing of people getting fired right now. You're hearing of people getting released. Why? Because they're globalists. Why? Because they're against what God is doing in America. I believe God is doing that in America, and he's blessing America, and what a blessing that is. We don't deserve it, but he's doing it. So Joshua 3:5, he was saying, in effect, these wonders are now ripe and ready to happen, and you're going to see them, Joshua, starting tomorrow, and then you're going to see them day after day, Joshua. You're going to see them week after week. Hey, you're going to see them month after month, and they're going to go on for 6 years. I submit to you this morning that very soon you will see these wonders that I'm talking about in the news day after day, week after week, month after month. People being brought to justice, people being put in jail, people being executed, my friends. God's justice coming down on the systems of evil over the United States of America. By the way, when God called me to pastor in Scranton so many years ago, he did not call me to be a Moses. He gave me Joshua 1 and Joshua 1:9, and he called me to be a Joshua. You know why I say that? Because Moses didn't lead the people into the promised land, but Joshua did. And part of that, I believe, is what God is doing to the systems of evil that we're going to go in, and I'm going to go in with you, not like Martin Luther King, who said, I see it, I'm on the mountaintop, and he was assassinated, probably by the CIA. But I'm saying, no, God called me to be a Joshua. And when I signed my Bibles, I put Joshua 1:9 on those Bibles as a signature. And I'm just saying that God is calling us to pray for America. And I remember in 2020, when the election was stolen, God had given us a wonderful answer to prayer in 2016, but it was stolen in 2020. Trump got more votes than any president in history. But it wasn't enough to beat Joe Biden. You know, everything about these people is a lie.
That's right.
Everything about that. Oh, they said, oh, he didn't have any mental impairment. Joe Scarborough, everything is fine. Oh, all these news commentators for CNN, everything is fine. Now they're writing a book. One guy's writing a book about how he was mentally impaired. They're now turning it right around and coming out and saying, oh, yeah, now we're going to tell you the truth. Well, you know, you've been lying to us all along. Now it benefits you, you think, so you're going to tell us the truth. And so I said, all we could do, we could pray and we could fast. Because God said, sanctify yourself. Thank God for votes. Votes are important, but more important than votes are sanctified people that separate from the wrong crowd and get to God and get a hold of God. That's what you need today. By the way, that's why you're in church today. You're not in church to impress your friends. You're not in church today to be around with the wrong crowd. You're in church today to hear the man of God.
Amen.
Preach the word of God to you. And I'm telling you, it's relevant for this hour and this day in which we are here. And I believe that that's why Donald John Trump, not just because of the votes, that was important, but not all important. That was all important in why Donald Trump got in. And I believe that SRBC is a key part of that remnant that is sanctified and that has a core in it of separated people that God is hearing and God is blessing. Some of you, you need more of that in your life. You need to get away from that wrong crowd. You guys back there, you need to listen to me preaching back there. Hey, young people in the back, look up here. Hey, look up here. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. You look up here and you listen. That's what we need more of. You say, why, Pastor? Because listen, we're living in the days when Satan wants the book of Revelation to be fulfilled. It's in Revelation 13. He wants to do it. You say, what does he want to do? It says it. It says in verse 16 and 17, Revelation, and he causeth Satan and his workers, both small and great, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You don't listen to me back there and to what I'm preaching to you, you may be one of those that take the mark.
Come on.
You say, I believe in Jesus. Maybe in your head, but it's not in your heart.
Come on.
And you'll take that mark just as sure as I'm standing here. And you'll be able to buy and sell and have money, but it won't last. It won't even last 3.5 years, and you'll die and go to hell because you didn't receive the Lord and you received the mark of Satan. That is what they want to do. They want a cashless money system that everybody... Now, Trump is against that. Did you know that? He's not for a cashless monetary system. He's for the American dollar to become strong. And he's a nationalist. And that's Bible. God is not a globalist. So the mark of the beast, Satan has it coming. We know it's going to come. But leaders all over the world, you know what they're doing right now? They're lauding the American president, Donald John Trump, as being a nationalist, a capitalist. And he's part leading another global order that's against Marxism, fascism, corporatism, New World Order, led by George Soros, Bill Gates, Obama, and others. Hey, by the way, Klaus Schwab and those cats, they want to be the fat cats. They want to eat ribeye steaks, and their plan is for you to eat bugs. That's what they want. By the way, that's how the devil is. He wants that kind of thing. But God has turned the tables, and I believe he's pushing back the devil's timeline, and we can say tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. I believe he's delaying that 2030 date. But are you glued in? Do you understand what we're even talking about? You know what? We're getting ready for God to do something.
Amen.
You know James Comey? James Comey is a sanctimonious, wicked, dirty cop. And that guy, first of all, said he just was on the beach and he saw 8647. Then later on he said, well, I actually did it. And then I put it on the website. And you know that's a call. 86 means to get rid of. 47 is the 47th. That's a call to get rid of Donald John Trump. Why? Because Comey is for Hillary and for Obama and for Soros and for Gates and for the globalists and for Satan's movement. I'm talking about the demon rat party and the rhino Republicans that might still be left that go along with them. And I'm just saying to you that is, is something that's going on there. And I remember well, James Comey, when Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, in 2017, he held that office for 24 days. That's it. He was the shortest national security advisor. A great man. And do you know why? Because Comey wanted to get rid of him. And Comey sent FBI people over there, and he was mocking the Trump administration, and people were laughing because he said, if it would have been the Bush administration, if it would have been Obama, by the way, those guys are corrupt. They need to be put in jail, in my opinion. I say Obama for sure. They're corrupt. And he said, if it would have been them, we could have got in there we couldn't have got in there. We would have been, protocol would have held us out. But I said, let's send these agents over. And he was bragging, you know, how I had these agents go over and question Michael Flynn. And Michael Flynn answered, and he said, we got him for lying, and we got him indicted on lying to us. How about you, you liar? Sanctimonious hypocrite. But we got him for lying. And so he was saying that. Now, I just heard a recent interview with Michael Flynn, and Michael Flynn says this about James Comey, and he knows a lot about what is going on. He said that James Comey is going to be questioned, and eventually he will fold like a dirty suit. And he will tell about others and what they're doing. And then you'll have, it was either Clapper or Brennan, I forgot which one it will. And then they'll fold and they'll turn others in. And just like we've been saying, it's all going to come down. That all of the dirt is going to come out. And he said, listen, Michael Flynn said James Comey is going to be the one that's going to, he's going to bring it all out. James Comey will turn, and he'll sing like a canary. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what Michael Flynn said. He knows a lot more than I do about these things. I'm just telling you what he said. Now, I do remember hearing James Comey say this about Donald Trump. You know, James Comey, Tulsi Gabbard said he belongs behind bars. I just heard her say that. He belongs behind bars. Michael Flynn said he belongs behind bars. I agree with that. I agree with that. It's time to indict. Bring charges and get these people. Pray for Pam Bondi. Get on that. But I'm just saying to you, I believe that's going to happen. And here's what James Comey said about Donald John Trump when they were trying to get him in prison. Being a president of the United States. And a reporter said to James Comey, well, do you think we could put Donald Trump in prison with the rest of the population? That wouldn't work, would it? He said, oh, we could do that. He said, put him in a double-wide trailer. Put him in the grass next to the fence of the prison. He can exercise there. He can shower there. And we can put him in jail. Well, they couldn't put him in jail. He's calling now for his assassination, but they've already done that because they tried to kill him at least twice. They did shoot him in the head. God had him turn his head. I'm saying God has done wonders to keep the man alive through a sanctified people. And that's the hope for America. It's some Bible-believing, born-again, church-going, old-fashioned believers that will serve God, that will not be afraid to speak. Men in the pulpit that are not afraid to speak the truth of Almighty God. And you just came into such a church this morning. I'm going to say what Joshua said this morning. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital, will do wonders among you. I believe personally that Obama will eventually be ripped and stripped of his presidency. I believe that Donald Trump, he may negotiate with Iran and so forth, not to have nuclear bombs, but don't you fear what's going on with the Islamist countries and Donald Trump, because I'll tell you what, Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39 says that they will be bombed. I believe Trump will be involved in that. I believe their nuclear sites will be bombed and that the regime in Iran will be history. And those people will have to leave, the people of Iran. They'll be happy to leave to get away from those people for a while. I believe then that Israel is going to win over Hamas, Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7 in Gaza, and that the land is going to be possessed by who God wants to possess the land. But I do believe that God is going to bless America and bring in a golden age. Why? Not to make America rich for itself, but so that a sanctified people living in America, praying for this, can use this for a good purpose. And that brings me to the second thing that I want to say. God will do wonders among you. First, He'll do it by judging the systems of evil over America. But secondly, He's going to do it by giving you in America a golden age. A golden age. Joshua said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Now, some of you have prayed for and waited for the Lord our God to really bless us with revival. And I'm saying Donald Trump is talking about a golden age for America. And I believe he's talking about finances. When people left the stock market, I didn't think they should do that because I think everything's going to go up. He's saving billions of dollars, yay, trillions of dollars. He's getting people to invest in America. Can't you see it? It's so obvious. But the lying media lies to people. And I have people, I tell them, you're full of soup. You know why you're full of soup? You listen to lies. You listen to the lying media. Get away from the lying. Listen to those that are telling you the truth. And so, you know, they listen to that. I had somebody say, oh, you know, Donald Trump, they're taking away our Social Security. No, they're taking away the Social Security of illegal aliens that are members of gangs like Prende Aragua that want to destroy you and take the Social Security from the American people. He's restoring it to the people. And so they're listening to lies. But I'm saying God, I believe, is doing that because God is going to bring a golden age into America. But listen, that's not the golden age I'm talking about. I'm talking about the gold of God's presence in churches. Do you know that when God's presence is around, He represents it by gold? Look at the Ark of the Covenant, represented by gold. Why? Because gold is a precious metal. Somebody just bought a golden coin. One time you could buy a golden coin, 1 ounce, for $600. I remember that not too long ago. Right now, you buy a golden coin, it costs you $3,325 for one gold dollar, 1 ounce. $3,325. You see, gold, one of the things it represents, gold represents God, the God of the Bible, the true and the living God. He's represented by gold. And so we need God's presence. Back in the days of King David, God's blessing David, and he handed that to Solomon. And Solomon had all of these shields of gold that he took from the Egyptians. By the way, Egypt is a type of the world. I found out when a church serves God and gets God's blessing and gets God's presence, people get saved. People walk with God. And guess what? People will give money to that church, not to hoard it, but to give it out to send buses out and to reach people and to fix the building up so we can reach people for God. Thank God that he's doing that in our church. And Solomon had that from David, but his son turned away from God. And guess what? Those shields of gold were taken back by the world, by Egypt, and they had to put shields of brass up. You know what brass is? It's an imitation of gold. It's trying to fake you out. And we have churches all around America. They've left God. They've left the gospel of God. They've left the word of God. And now they're trying to fake you out like they have God's presence and power. But listen, you can't replace that. I'm saying I believe that God will do wonders that he's going to bring into this church and churches like this church that are praying for it. A golden age of God pouring out his presence. God pouring out his power to get people saved and change people's lives. And that's why you're here today. You might think you're here today to be with your friends. You might think you're here today to have fun at a carnival. I hope you have fun. Amen. I'm for it. But you're here mainly today to get God in your heart. Amen. To get Jesus in your heart. That happened to me when I was 17. I was on my way to hell. I got to the point where I'd go to school and pick fights with kids in school and try to have a fist fight to see if I could beat them. And that was where I was. I had no heart for others and no compassion. And then I got saved. Amen. And now I don't want to beat them up. I want to see them get saved like I got saved and get Jesus in their heart like I got Jesus in my heart. And we love you and we want to see you get blessed. But it, Jesus put it this way with a lot of churches in these last days, Laodicean days. He said, thou art lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Now, there gold represents, listen, faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. White raiment represents the righteousness of Jesus. See, I talk to people and they think they're getting to heaven because they're all right, they're good, they've done good things. He says, you're naked, you're full of holy clothes that will never get into heaven. You need to give up your clothes and accept Jesus and what he did. And then you'll be clothed with his righteousness. All your sins are washed away by Jesus and his blood. And then you can get in by putting your faith in Jesus. And he said that that's not being preached, and many people in church don't have that. You know, in the book of Acts, when the gold power of God was poured out, people would say, what must I do to be saved? Right. You know, that happened to me when I heard the word of God. I realized, man, I'm not only a sinner, I told my Sunday school, but I was so sinful, I knew I deserved to go to hell. I was going to go to hell. And I said, what must I do to be saved? And I found out it's very simple. Once you get to that point, you just need to come to Jesus and put your faith in him, and he'll save you. And if you're not saved today, are you even asking that question? What must I do to be saved? I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. You need to get there. You need to get there. And then to turn from your sin and look to Jesus and look to his death on the cross and his burial, his resurrection, and he'll save you. He'll save you just like that. And that is the golden age that we're looking for. Our theme is golden age, mining for men. We want to see men and women, teenagers, boys and girls get saved. What must I do to be saved? Let me say this. There was a pope in Rome. And he had a lot of gold, he had a lot of silver, a lot of wealth, and he was hoarding it, and he was proud of it. And an old country preacher who lived and learned from the apostles and from the power of the days of the apostles, he brought that preacher to Rome to show him the wealth of the gold and the silver and the riches of Rome and the church at Rome. And the Pope was bragging, and the Pope finally said to the country preacher, he said, you know what? He said, Peter, in the early days of the church, said in the apostolic days, he said, silver and gold have I none. He said, but we don't have to say that anymore because we're full of riches. And the wise country preacher who lived in the apostolic era, he said, yes, he said, that's true. You don't have to say, silver and gold have I none, but neither can you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The power's not there. And I'm just saying to you, I believe the Lord is fixing to pour out wonders of His presence, of faith in Him, and people being born again, and God's blessing being there, and people that will live according to the King James Bible, the Word of God, the every word Bible, and they'll have the old-time religion, and the old-time church will prosper and thrive once again. And God is also, I believe, getting ready to judge the systems of evil over America. I'm saying God will do wonders among you. That's what God will do among you. Let me just finish quickly by saying, why will God do wonders among you? Why? We said what He will do. Now, why will He do it? Well, Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. That's what it takes. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, my people, listen, which are called by my name, that's the problem. The greatest problem in America is not Trinidad Aragua. The greatest problem in America are not even the globalists. They've been allowed this power because God's people have not sanctified themselves. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Vote? That's all right, but it doesn't say that. It says, my people shall humble themselves. Get rid of the pride. And pray. And seek my face. He said, and turn. Turn from their wicked ways. You know, find out what you're doing that makes God jealous. Find out what you're doing that makes God say, you're just like everybody else. And you're being a hypocrite. And you're not really living for me. Turn from your wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive and heal your land. That's what God said to His people. I believe He's saying that to you today. To sanctify yourself means that you separate yourself from all other your friends around you that don't know God. You don't sit with them. You don't hang close to them. You may visit them and reach out for the Lord, but you don't hang with them. If you lie down with dogs, you're going to come up with what? Fleas. Yeah. And God doesn't do His wonders for most people because they're not separated from the evil of this world and set apart for God. And you say, well, how can I be sanctified? Well, you can be sanctified, first of all, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible, you're sanctified. You know what? I've been using this all along. I might as well finish with it, but I just heard a little glitch in it. Can you hear me back there? All right, good. We'll stay with it. You're sanctified by Jesus Christ. When Joshua went into the promised land, God shut the Jordan River down and made it stand up so they could go across. And they went on dry ground and they went to the other side following the Ark of the Covenant. And then God brought that river back down and He put 12 stones in the river and 12 stones on the other side. Do you know you're sanctified in Jesus Christ? Because when you put your faith in Jesus, that means you're joined to Him. Just like when I said I do to my wife. Now my wife is back there. We're married. Amen. We share everything. We share it all. Amen. We share it all. And that's what marriage is. So when you get saved by Jesus, you are joined to Jesus. He's not rich and you're poor. You have everything that He is and has. It's all you're married to Him. And that means you died with Him to what you were. You're dead. You're buried. Hey, I heard there were these girls and they were invited to go to a party. There was going to be some kissing there, making out. There's going to be some booze there, alcohol. Not booths like back here. People think I'm saying booze in our car. No, it's booths. There was actual booze there. There were some drugs there. There's some stuff there that shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? And they were invited to the party, and they were texting everybody to come to the party, and they got the text on their cell phone. Come to the party. It's at such and such a time. Not at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. No, this is another kind of party. You come there, and they got the text. And you know what they text back? We can't come. We're dead. You know what they were saying? When we believed in Christ, we died to the world. We're buried. We're dead. We're now risen. We're living in another place. Jesus is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We can't go to that. We got to sanctify ourselves because we're already sanctified. We're separated by the Lord, by our faith in the Lord. Some of you are separated by your faith in the Lord, but you're not separating yourself from people that don't know the Lord. Some of you, you need to come on our side. You need to get on the Lord's side and say, hey, Pastor, you're on the winning team. I can see it. I can see it. I'm not saved. I'm headed to hell. I need to get saved. Hey, do it now. Don't wait. Believe in Jesus. By the way, once you get saved, get dunked under the water and get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows you're separated by dying with Christ, being buried to your old life, and coming up on the other side. You have a new life. And so get baptized. And then the Bible says that you're sanctified by the Holy Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And what that's talking about there is once you get saved, you believe in Jesus, you're sprinkled with His blood, and now He wants you to follow Him. And the early church in Acts 2, it said, after they got saved and baptized, listen, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, hey, you made some decisions for God. Now, how you doing? Well, I've got thoughts. Thoughts, what kind of thoughts? Thoughts that are making me think about going the other way. I said, where do those thoughts come from? They come from what? The devil. And what will help you to get those thoughts out of your heart? Continue in the Word of God. The Apostles' Doctrine is the Bible. And then fellowship. What's fellowship? That is helping others get saved. That is helping others get baptized. That's helping others then follow Jesus. Fellowship. And breaking of bread. What's that? Be there for the Lord's Supper. Be there and worship the Lord. And prayer. Be there for prayer meeting. Hey, we have prayer meeting every Wednesday, 9 to 7. Be there. Pray every day. Be sanctified. Why? Because God will do wonders among you because the reason is you're living a sanctified life. Ah, may God help us to claim His promise where He says, God will do wonders among you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about God will do wonders among you. We've been talking about